Many Upper Lynn Canal residents will see their electric bills go up soon, and local veterans honor the 239th birthday of the U.S. Marine Corps. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Most people in the Upper Lynn Canal are going to see their electric bills go up soon, but nobody knows exactly how much, and the people involved in that decision are not making it a transparent process. KHNS's Margaret Friedenauer has this report.
Alaska Power Company, a subsidiary of Alaska Power and Telephone, or AP&T, in January applied to increase rates 18%. Executive Vice President Michael Garrett said the process to determine if that much of an increase is warranted would play out in the public. During an April consumer input hearing in Haines, Garrett mentioned public process 9 times in his remarks.
The rate case is where the commission, through this public process, sometimes there's consumer meetings, sometimes there's not, but it is always a public process. They determine the appropriate rates for us to charge. It's a public process. It's a public process. Public process.
Garrett says the utility applied to the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, or RCA, for the increase to cover higher costs, mostly associated with infrastructure and administration. The rate increase would affect Haines, Skagway, a handful of other small southeast towns, and several communities near Tok. At that April meeting, Garrett said the process would work much like a court case. Depositions and testimony would be taken, lawyers would be involved, and a hearing would be held late this year or early 2015 when the Regulatory Commission would decide whether to approve a rate hike. Communities affected by a rate increase were allowed to take part in the case, with attorneys representing them. The state attorney general is also a party in the case, representing all ratepayers. But the parties decided to try to come to a compromise before the case goes before the RCA. A few weeks ago, KHNS found out the attorney general and power company were meeting to discuss a settlement. Attorneys for the communities were allowed to attend. Most of those involved say the settlement talks are confidential. But one attorney said he wasn't out of line in revealing what the two sides agreed on, an 11.18% rate increase. That number has not been confirmed by anyone else involved in the case, but it hasn't been denied either. Haines and Skagway assemblies have been discussing the settlement in private in executive session. They have to approve the settlement before the case can go forward. The Skagway Assembly approved the settlement last week, but Mayor Mark Schaefer says the Skagway Borough Attorney advised the Assembly to keep specifics of that discussion confidential. The Haines Assembly has also discussed the settlement in private, but not decided anything yet. The item will come up again at Wednesday's Assembly meeting. A resolution to approve the settlement will be up for discussion and a vote, but it doesn't state the amount of the rate increase. The secrecy surrounding the settlement is unsettling to former Haines Mayor Stephanie Scott. She spoke out against a rate increase on behalf of the borough during the April public meeting. Now, she doesn't know what the borough is potentially agreeing to.
I'm disturbed that we're proceeding on behalf of the community of Haines without informing the community of Haines what's at stake.
Scott says a settlement of 11% is confusing because of the testimony filed in the case from a utility expert named Ralph Smith. He testified in September on behalf of the Attorney General. He's a CPA, attorney, and utility expert who has consulted on more than 600 regulatory proceedings. He says during his testimony that power companies are at risk of making their services unaffordable for some Alaska communities. Smith testified that APC's financial standing warrants, at most, a 5.5% rate increase. But with a potential settlement in the works, Smith says he can't comment on his testimony any further. The state attorney general also refuses to comment on why an 11% increase settlement would be best when Smith says 5.5% would be enough. There may still be recourse for ratepayers who don't agree with an 11% settlement. While the proposed settlement has to be approved by the communities who are parties in the case, it also has to be approved by the RCA. Scott says the RCA told her she can submit her opposition to them if the Haines Assembly votes to approve it Wednesday.
I will take action as I think is necessary on Thursday morning, depending on what is agreed to, or on Wednesday night.
She may not be the only one. Interior Gateway School District Superintendent Todd Pogue says his regional school board objects to a rate increase. The district last year paid $574,000 in electricity costs to AP&T, despite the many energy-saving efforts they've implemented.
We're the first school in the nation to produce electricity through hazardous biomass, which reduces our monthly billing at our largest school, and that's Tolke School, between 25% and 40%. We replace T12 lights with LEDs at the schools with the highest kilowatt rates. We replace system operating control software. We've installed temperature setbacks. We've replaced circulating pumps, ventilation systems, furnaces, and fan motors.
Pogue says he also worries how the rate increase would affect children and families in his community. 85% of families with school-age children in his district live below the poverty line. The Haines Assembly meets at 6:30 Wednesday night in Assembly Chambers. They are planning to vote on the rate increase settlement. Reporting in Haines, I'm Margaret Friedenauer.
Haines honored Veterans Day Tuesday, and Monday, November 10th, was the U.S. Marine Corps' 239th birthday. The Sheldon Museum held a celebration in honor of local former Marines along with other military veterans. Borough Manager Dave Sosa, who served in the Marines for 22 years, helped lead the event.
Once a Marine, always a Marine. I mean, it helps me every day. Every single day. There's almost never a day that passes that I don't draw on something I learned then.
Mitchell McMahon joined the Marines when he was 19 years old and served for 2 years.
It helped me find structure at a time of my life when I definitely needed to find some structure.
McMahon was one of 5 Marine Corps veterans gathered at the museum, along with veterans from other branches of the military. They ate birthday cake together and shared stories.
I don't think there's a day that goes by you don't think about it.
Terry Enfield is a former Marine from Nebraska. He was in Haines for a hunting trip. Enfield just happened to be here on the Corps' birthday celebration.
If you would ask an Army or Navy or Air Force, when's your birthday? 9 out of 10 probably couldn't tell you. The Marines always know when their birthday is. It's drilled into you in boot camp. Just certain history is embedded in your head, you know, and you don't forget it.
Arthur Woodard is a 10-year resident of Haines. He served in the Marines from 1965 to 67 in Vietnam.
I think fondly of the Marines. I think fondly of serving, but I don't think fondly of our involvement in Vietnam.
Woodard says he didn't see the war that way until long after he left the Marines, but he's still proud of his service. Haines Borough Manager Dave Sosa left the Marines more recently after 2 decades of service, which included tours in Iraq.
It was an incredible experience. I really loved being around the Marines. Some people have jobs and they wake up in the morning and they're like, oh, it's time to go to work. And I was lucky enough to be able to wake up every morning and say, it's time to go to work.
Sosa says he suggested the museum hold a Marine Corps birthday celebration because of their front yard monument dedicated to Marines. The other veterans here said they were glad to see Haines commemorating this date. Navy veteran George Campbell.
I'm glad that we're celebrating the Marine Corps birthday because we haven't observed it with that much formality here.
It's been really good, particularly being able to meet some former Marines. I met Marines who served during the Vietnam War, others before that, others after that, and it just, you know, goes back to the words of General Dunford, the current commandant. You know, it's about remembering our past and looking forward to our future, and anytime you have an opportunity to, you know, bond with them and learn from them and hear from them, it's just a great opportunity.
Sosa hopes the Marine Corps birthday celebrations will continue here in the years to come. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
Hoorah! All right.
If the vote totals hold, Alaskans will be able to legally buy, transport, and use small amounts of marijuana. The initiative will not be law until 3 months after the vote is certified, and the state has more time to come up with rules for marijuana sales. In the meantime, there are still many questions about how legal marijuana will work in rural Alaska. Municipalities have the option to ban the sale of marijuana, but they can't restrict transportation or possession. The campaign to oppose marijuana had its base in rural Alaska and named ACIAC's Mike Williams as its chairman. He says he's disappointed in the results.
The villages need to take a look at what they can do at the local level, at the tribal level, and to continue to pursue making sure that our communities are healthy.
Many questions remain on the law enforcement aspect of legal marijuana, but it's clear that Alaska's large rivers remain under federal law, which prohibits marijuana. Chief Petty Officer Kip Wadlow, a Coast Guard spokesperson, says his agency's crews are responsible for federal navigable waterways.
You know, they are federal law enforcement officers, so if they encountered a person or persons who are in violation of federal drug laws, you know, we do have the authority as law enforcement officers to seize the illegal drug and possibly take that person into custody depending on the amount and what the situation was.
Wadlow emphasizes that the Coast Guard's other top concern is making sure people are not boating under the influence of drugs or alcohol. The law doesn't restrict employers' ability to outlaw drug use. Williams says that's a tool that may expand in the coming months. Upper Lynn Canal voters overwhelmingly supported the measure to legalize the possession and use of marijuana. At least one person has inquired with the Haynesboro about opening a dispensary. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks to Margaret Friedenauer and Ben Matheson for help with this report.